never spoken, my people following conscious. You may know a lot of them, never think that you got this. Wise words, pay attention to these wise words. And people follow people, but seldom following dreams. They tend to follow dreams, but never know what they mean. These are wise words, pay attention to these wise words.
Hey, we're here with the relaunch of Wise Words. I have Remedy Vapors owner Sam Freeman here and our co-host, Whitey Pines, Mark Wood. So we're going to jump into it today. We're going to ask Sam some questions. He's a very successful business owner here in Bowling Green. He has one of the best vapor companies here in Bowling Green. Sam, did you start out in Bowling Green? Did you have a shop somewhere else?
Well, first I want to start out and just say I appreciate you guys having me on here. Feel like I'm with royalty right now.
Oh, man.
I was at the Jelly Roll concert last night, and Jordan over here got a shout out from. Be cool to see, you know, somebody from my hometown and everything.
Yeah, it was
called out like that.
It was kind of surreal, for real. You know, I do go way back with Jelly, so I do appreciate him acknowledging that. So,
yeah.
But thank you for acknowledging it as well.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, to answer your question, the first one was in Bowling Green, yeah, in just a little tiny little spot, $600 a month rent. I just moved here from Las Vegas. I had seen a shop open up out there, and like, man, just it seemed like a really simple thing to do. Now, once I got into it, it was a little bit more complicated, but yeah, man.
So you was one of the first people to have a vapor shop or a vape shop.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of brought the trend. You've seen it out there.
Start with, you grew up in Russellville, Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
And you ended up in Vegas.
Right, right.
What took you from Russellville to Vegas?
There's a lot of things that happened in between, but I'd say, you know, really the college and everything like that took me out there. And then after graduating from college, stuck around for a few years, got a job and everything like that. And then, you know, wasn't too happy with it, and I originally came back here to help out my dad, and then with his business, and learned a lot just in 6 months of helping him, and just, you know, saw the vape stuff, and I was like, man, I think there's gonna be something to this.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I think you was kind of ahead of the curve with that. What kind of business does your dad have?
Pallets. He owns a pallet yard.
So you kind of learned the business side from him and kind of applied it to the
I'd had like several jobs, but just being in there with him, small company, and seeing that, you know, like with a small company, you see everything that's going on. Like you see the bills that you have to pay, the tax, you know, the payroll, and just the day-to-day stuff where I think a lot of jobs I'd had before, you know, they're like, this is the job that you do right here. But I got to, you know, with him, it was like a very broad view. And we fought, you know, we argued and everything like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I learned a lot.
This was
in that short amount of time.
I asked you how you got along, because a lot of times families can't work together.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you both, you know, have an understanding that we're both trying to do the best thing for this, and then you can move ahead, and like, you know, some things are going to be successes, some things are going to be failures, of course.
But how many people did y'all work with? How many was on payroll?
Man, at the time, I don't know, there's probably a dozen or so. He had another place in Springfield, Tennessee, like a scrap yard. I wasn't as involved with that, but, you know, I don't know. Never really counted, man. Never really counted. It wavered a lot.
What would you say the biggest thing you took away from that and applied to your business would be?
Probably, man, is something you have to go about every single day. You know, every day is a little bit different, and like,
it's no days off, is it?
It's just about taking care of, you know, this issue comes up, this issue comes up. And there's constantly one of those. I'm like, man, you just use your skills in the best way possible to take care of that. And,
gotcha.
You know, so I had a lot to learn from him. So somebody doing it a long time.
Gotcha. So you had the first shop was here in Bowling Green. Let's kind of get right back on the timeline.
Right.
Then you opened one down up in Russellville.
Yeah, we did at one point. And I don't know, man, it was strange because we'd opened up the store in Bowling Green and then opened up the store in Glasgow. They're both doing real good. And I kind of thought, man, you know, I'm from Russellville and this should be pretty easy to get going and everything, and just never got it where we wanted it to be.
Everybody says it's the honorable thing to do, you know, you try to give back to your community, but smart money don't go to places like Russellville, you know. Not when Bowling Green's 30 minutes
it was a challenge, man, and a humbling experience because like having to close it down and everything, like that's the last thing you want to do. But, man, yeah, we just packed our shit up. You know? Just decided, like, let's just pack this shit up and go back to Bowling Green and opened up a second store here.
That's what Ski Daddies did.
Yeah. We had a second store here for several years, and we had to temporarily shut it down during COVID, and then everybody was coming over to this store, so we're like, man, it just doesn't make much sense to have two stores. So ended up shutting that one down too.
Well, it seems like there's been a lot of vape shops pop up in the past year or two. Have y'all noticed an increase in competition?
Yeah, there definitely has been. I mean, the trend in vaping just changes so much.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, just what everybody's interested in and going for and stuff. I've seen them go from like the size of like little bitty pins into, you know, these things that blow these big ass clouds into, you know, something that blows big ass clouds, but it's not as much work, to then something that blows smaller clouds. And then now, you know, the trend definitely is the disposables.
Me personally, I can't do the elf bars.
No.
Or the sticks. Like, they scratch my throat. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When I'm pulling off a big one like this, I feel like I get a cleaner, thicker hit.
Yeah. You know? I still use a little bit of everything, but definitely the disposables. I think it's the convenience of them, really. Like, you can get them just about anywhere. They're very convenient. If they break or something, you just throw them away. Yeah, but I still prefer, you know, what you're using over there. I mean, I say that with a disposable. Right now.
Yeah.
So, flavor wise, like let's have a little bit of fun. Like, what's your favorite like go to flavor?
Oh man, my go to flavor over here is Blue Julius, and if I could take one flavor with me to a desert island, it would be that one. It's our number one flavor. It's a blue raspberry slushy. And I don't know, we've probably been selling it here for four or five years.
The slushy flavors, they have a hint of menthol in them to give them that cool.
This one
feeling.
Really doesn't. We do make it with a menthol tint to it if you want that. But yeah, with the disposables and stuff, they all seem to have some kind of old menthol hit to it. But this one really doesn't have anything like that. Nah.
Do you think, I mean, for me, like, anytime I've been in a business, it's to try to help somebody. You know, what?
Sure.
You know, it's not so much about making the sale as being able to help someone out. So, do you feel, what's the benefits you feel over, you know, traditional tobacco?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I mean, that's, you know, what I kind of told myself when I started this was, like, man, I don't really know what's going to happen. You know, I was going around to these banks and asking for loans, and they're, you know, kind of turning their head away and everything. They're like, what else are you going to sell? I was like, yeah, this is it. But I kind of thought, you know, if you know, we can get a couple people to quit smoking cigarettes, help them out with that, get off of tobacco, then it'll all be worth it in the end. And I just carried that mindset with me where, you know, I just wasn't afraid to fail.
Right.
Wasn't afraid to fail. That didn't really play into the factor at all. And I'm glad I had that mindset. I wish I had that mindset every second of the day.
I mean, I think you got to when you're going into any kind of business or, you know, new venture, you kind of got to go to it with, like, you know, even if you fail, as long as you can take something away from it and just keep going, you never fail until you actually quit. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely the mentality that I think most business owners should adapt, or, you know, anybody that's competitive or trying something new for that.
Yeah. And I just love the product, man. I was, you know, in my mind, I was like, man, I think that there's something onto this. Like, I used it, quit smoking cigarettes. I was like, man, I think this is something a lot of people are going to really like. Yeah. I think it's going to, I never really expected for it to grow as much as it really did, honestly, because now, like, you know, back then, people didn't even know what it was. 90% of our customers came in, they're like, man, I heard y'all had something that, you know, was an alternative to smoking. I tried it at somebody at work or something like that.
What year is this? Because the very first one I saw was probably 2008.
Mm.
About 2008.
Yeah.
At the Opry Mills Mall. And it looked like a cigarette.
Yeah, those are what you called the Cigalikes. Those were the first ones that came out. And there's just something missing about them. Because I tried them too, and I was just like, man, I like the idea of it, but I was like, I can never quit smoking cigarettes with this.
I didn't either.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that did, honestly.
As a matter of fact, I got to where I was hitting that and smoking cigarettes. Just trying to cut back, but yeah.
Yeah, there's just something missing about it, right? It just didn't have the same kind of enjoyment.
At the time, because used to, you could smoke in stores, right? Restaurants or whatever. At the time, you know, that was
good,
like,
old days.
Yeah, it was like the alternative to, all right, I can't smoke in the house. Well, I can hit this little pen thing.
Right. I mean, that's what I started out with, because...
And then you got to explain to people, like, oh, it ain't smoke. It's a water vapor.
You know,
it's no different than the steam coming off your shower, you know.
But, yeah, that's what I started out with, and I love the idea around it, especially because, man, I just had this... I was sick. I don't want to say I was... deathly sick or anything like that, but it was just like this, you know, cold that just wouldn't go away. And I went, you know, $15, $16, whatever they had it at the gas station, I bought one of those, and I'd use it for a couple days, and like the sickness would go away, but then I'd smoke a cigarette and it'd come back. But what I liked about it was, like, I'd be sitting at work, you know, and I worked in an office building. And this is Las Vegas, so everybody else be outside. It's really fucking hot out there, you know. They're like trying to find cover under like a palm tree or something, you know. And,
so they could get a cig.
Yeah, and like, and I was just sitting in there, you know, like madman, just sitting there hitting my little vape, being like, man, look at these people out here, like burning up out here in the sun, you know. So. So that's what I liked about it, but the sensation wasn't quite there. I had a buddy that kind of led me on to these, and there was just one store in Vegas at the time, Sin City Vapor, and got one of those, and I was like, yeah, man, this is it.
So you obviously vape as well, Whitey, and you used to smoke cigarettes, so it helped you get off of them as well?
This and the patch.
Yeah. Oh, man. He was doubling up.
I was doing the e-cigs, but I would wear the patch. And, you know, one day I put the patch on at night. I slept. I woke up the next morning. I smoked a cigarette, and I got deathly sick. I guess I had nicotine poisoning. But I was like, man, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah. It's funny. This old guy came in here the other day.
I needed something to puff.
Right.
That's half of the addiction, is the habit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the hand to mouth.
Just smoking, having something in your hand.
Having something to do.
So I'm bad about quickly, that with, like, drinks. Like, energy drinks to me is just have something to do, you know?
How quickly for you did you, like, get out of that? Like, did this start to replace that cigarette? Because for me, like, the rhythm was kind of messed up at first. You know, you go out to the bar with coworkers and, like,
still smoke.
There's, like, that ritual of smoking a cigarette. I would just try to hit my vape whenever they hit a cigarette.
Like I said, that was the last cigarette I had. I guess it was maybe 2016, 2016.
Okay. Yeah.
It was pretty much immediate.
Okay.
Like, but I knew I had to have something different than that little pin thing. So I went and I got a mod. It was called a Penguin.
It didn't have no functions
or nothing on it. And I started hitting that. And I just kind of got into like, man, I can switch these flavors up. I do dessert flavors. So I do like, I can't do fruit or nothing.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, I gotta have something sweet. But if you'll notice, like, my Puffs is on 4,432, and I think I reset it the day before yesterday.
Dang. So going through it.
Yeah, I'm burning through coals. So, like, as far as that goes, like, my nicotine threshold right now is through the roof.
Yeah.
Because there's no regulator on that. You hit them constantly. If you know, when I'm smoking cigarettes, I'll fire up a cigarette, and when it's cashed, I put it out.
Right.
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 I'm finished. Might not fire up another one for another 15 minutes. But this thing never extinguishes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm constantly, bam, hit.
Yeah, that's why I tell people, man, like, you know, if they come in, they're like, oh, that one's kind of pricey. I'm like, man, how much you pay for your cell phone? They'd be like, you know, $600-$700. I'm like, yeah, I bet you use that vape more than you use your cell phone. I'm like, nobody's complaining about the price. Well, some people might complain about the price of the cell phone and stuff. But I'm like,
well, he brought up the nicotine levels, which makes me want to bring up something. So you can go down to like zero nicotine with it too. Like, explain the different levels.
Yeah, so, I mean, most people will start out just by asking them questions at first.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you smoke? You know, how long you been smoking? What kind? And that kind of gives us an idea of where to start them out at. You know, whether we need to start them out at 6 milligrams or 8. We do everything custom here, so we can do whatever you want, man. It's like McDonald's. You know, you can have it your way.
That's Burger King, though, right?
Oh, man, is that Burger King? Okay.
Shit. You can't have it so
man,
way.
Man, I've been saying that for years, too.
It's not so way at McDonald's.
Yeah. So, anyway, if somebody comes in here, man, I'm just smoking a half pack a day, or I'm smoking 5 or 6 cigarettes a day, then normally we'll start them out at 3 milligrams of nicotine.
That's what I'm on.
Yeah.
3, because to me, nicotine changes the flavor, right?
Right.
So the 6, I don't like the way it tastes.
Yeah.
But if I went up to 6, I probably wouldn't vape, might not vape near as much, you know.
Well, nicotine gives it that throat hit, so like the higher up you go, if you go too high, you know, like, it's just going to hit too hard. And like, man, somebody's just going to be coughing all the time.
Explain the difference between salt nick and the nick like we use.
Sure. So the best way I can explain it without going into, like, the chemistry of it a whole lot is that salt nick doesn't taint the flavor at all. So if you're using a smaller device like something like this, they're not going to hit as hard as something like that you have right there. So you want to use a higher percentage of nicotine to make sure you get what you need. So the salt nick, somebody can use 25 milligrams, 50 milligrams, something like that, right? If I were to do that with traditional nicotine, then it's going to, I mean, like, even if somebody could hit it, it's going to, you know, 50 milligrams. I mean, that's going to be a good portion of the bottle. You know, all it is going to be nicotine. So,
right.
So anyway, the salt nick doesn't taint the flavor at all. And it also allows you to use those higher milligrams of nicotine. The price difference, though, is very different on our end. Salt and nicotine, you know, you're talking about at least 3 or 4 times as much money. Wow. That's why you normally see it priced a little bit different, because the nicotine's so high.
You can't vape out of these?
You can vape anything out of anything that you want, but I wouldn't recommend it now, man.
What would happen?
If I put in 25 milligrams of nicotine or 50 milligrams of salt nicotine and something like that, and you hit it, I mean, it would just be like an overload of nicotine. I've seen some people do it, but I don't know how. Like, generally, we don't like to go above, like, 18, 20 for people. But some people, you know.
I got a fun fact. And yeah. I'm sure you can touch in on this. But, like, so if you get, like, an overload of nicotine, like, gives you the hiccups. Do you know that?
I had no idea. Nobody ever told me that before.
The oxygen to your brain. That's what causes hiccups. Oh, man.
Because once I was vaping, and I think I still, you know, smoked a couple cigarettes a day or something, and I had a higher nicotine level. And when I did that, I started getting hiccups. And I actually looked into it. And
yeah.
It's, I guess the science is not enough oxygen to your, what did you say, Wadi?
Oxygen to your brain.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Man, y'all tell me stuff I didn't even know. I'm going to have to tell somebody. Yeah, man, it's giving me the hiccups and shit. I'm like, all right. You know, we're going to knock it down. Yeah.
Carbon monoxide levels in your blood, too, I believe, affect your hiccups. That's why I think, like, for me, if I get the hiccups, find, like, a paper sack or something.
Hold it up in your
face, breathe into it a couple of times. It's supposed to increase the carbon monoxide levels in your blood.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. It's worth a Google.
Yeah.
You can also hold your breath, so they say. Or you get scared.
Yeah. Or do a handstand or something. Man, I'm 37 years old, I ain't doing no handstands.
9 gulps of water works too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I hate the hiccups, though. That's one of the most troublesome things. Like,
annoying,
annoying.
Fucking annoying, no doubt.
Crazy.
No doubt. Yeah.
And plus, you can't vape when you got the hiccups. Very good.
Oh, man.
Well, that's your limit. That's staying inside.
I don't know if there's anything to keep me from a vape. Man, I've had people having teeth surgeries and, you know, shit like that, and they're like...
Me and you have spoke a little bit, just loose rap about...
Right.
...your recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's say, first and foremost, you know, I don't want to come across as somebody that's like... hating on alcohol or anything, or, you know, if you smoke weed or whatever and that works for you, that's good. You know, I have lots of family members that drink, you know, and I certainly did plenty of mine.
Yeah,
it just didn't work for me.
Jewish, I'm Catholic. Our backgrounds are probably similar.
Right, it's a part of everything.
In the Bible Belt, like...
Yeah.
You know, the religions, the predominant religion here, Christianity, is kind of shunned of alcohol.
Right.
All religions, you know, hey, you can...
Nah, it's a part of everything.
Right.
Yeah, there's so, even a blessing in Hebrew, a blessing over the wine that you, as a child, you learn, like, pretty young, you know, because it's said at every meal if you're in a religious family, which I wasn't in a real religious family, but... You know, so I definitely don't shun it. You know, I think it's a really good thing for people, you know, to use, to let loose, to have a good time and everything like that. It's just that I went overboard with it, you know. I like to say I crossed a line at some point where it wasn't a choice to use it anymore. It's like something I had to use every single day. And, you know, for me... I guess I could say I became a pickle, man. I couldn't go back to being a cucumber, if you know what I mean. So
that's an interesting metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Because when I think of a pickle, I think of a seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's been in the vinegar.
Yeah.
Curing. Time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know when I crossed the line, but I guarantee I was drunk when I crossed it. So, you know... I just crossed that line at some point, and, you know, for me, it was either, you know, once I took a drink or took any drug or something like that, there was really no off button. Like, I was just gone with it.
Awesome.
You know, I ain't stopping. So, you know, it got to the point where, you know, I mean, I really didn't think I'd live too much longer living the way I was.
Was this in Vegas?
I mean, man, I think I first, when I was a kid, I was prescribed Adderall.
Mm.
You know, so I really kind of learned.
That's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I really kind of, and back then, you know, it was like the miracle drug. You know, you take this, you're going to do better in school, and you're going to...
Yeah, they didn't tell you back then that it's basically, you know, one...
An amphetamine.
Away from being straight dope, you know.
Right,
meth.
Right, yeah. Right. So, really, I mean, if I look back on it all, it kind of started out there where that's how I learned how to deal with everything. You know, it's like, man... you know, had a bad day, this happened or this happened, like, that's what I leaned on. You know, leaned on, you know, drugs and alcohol, you know, just drink stuff. It's probably about 20.
What happened when you had a good day?
What happened when I had, shit, same thing.
I didn't insert that because that's how it starts getting, you know what I'm saying? You're like, I'm having a bad day, I'm going to drink.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever the poison of choice may be.
Right.
So, but then when you have a good day, you're like, well, it's going good, so I might as well celebrate, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I went to a rehab center, it's been more than 6.5 years. My sobriety date's January the 10th of 2017, which I thank God for. But, you know, sitting in that treatment center, they kind of make you go back and look at how this all started, you know, what your behaviors are like, how this is influenced and everything.
And you
start to realize, like, man, the drugs and alcohol are the solution. They're not the problem, you know, like, I'm the problem, right? This is my solution until you can find another solution, you know, which to me is God. You know, I was pretty much powerless over it.
Powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I got out of that treatment center. This guy named Bo, well, I'm forever grateful for meeting. Like, man, he showed me how to live a sober life. He was like, this is what we do. This is how we're going to do it. He always answered my phone calls. And we went through a lot together. And
he was a sponsor.
Yeah, he was my first sponsor.
So you did work the 12 steps.
Oh, yeah. I live the 12 steps. I live the 12 steps every day.
To this day?
Oh, yeah. 1, 3, 7, 10, 11, and 12 every single day. Wake up in the morning. I admit that I'm still powerless over, you know, alcohol and drug, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Step 3, turn it over to God. You know, step 7, you know, ask him to, you know, relieve me of my character defects, my shortcomings. You know, 10, which is a daily reflection, you know, how to act today. You know, do I owe somebody an amends? Is it something I need to make right? You know, and 11 and 12, you know, basically is, you know, praying for his direction and then carrying the message to somebody else who needs that help.
How many years has that been working for you?
Six and a half years. Well, yeah, the last.
Do you sponsor anybody yourself?
Oh, yeah. I've sponsored lots of guys through the years. You know, some have made it through, some haven't, but.
But it's not really, just because if they relapse, it's really not on you.
No, that's something Bo told me. He said, you ain't responsible for getting anybody sober. You ain't responsible for getting anybody drunk.
Because it's almost
it's on God.
And it's almost guaranteed that it's going to happen.
Like a relapse?
Yeah, like the odds are not in these people's favor.
The odds aren't good, man, but I mean, I believe anybody can get sober.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to say, like, that's one of the things, you know, like you're in a treatment center and they'll tell you the odds of, you'll be sitting by two people, they'll be like, look to the right, look to the left. The chances that one of y'all are dead within the next year are greater than the chances that one of y'all be sober.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yeah, that part is true. But at the same time, you know.
Me, do you think that gives a little false or, like, intimidates people more than helps them out? Because if they're thinking, well, the odds are I'm going to fail, then I'm probably going to fail and just go back to whatever.
Absolutely, but what do you do? about it. I mean, you know, the
I just don't know if the scare tactic is the best way.
Well, you know, for me, like I said, you know, getting in a 12-step program, following that, and living that life, and continuing to carry it out and everything like that, to me, like, you know, I'm like, if somebody does this, they have a 100% chance of staying sober.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, the thing you got to learn about treatment centers, is it's not recovery. It's a place to go, and, you know, you're going to learn a few things while you're there. They're going to, you know, keep you away from the bottle the best that they possibly can, although a lot of people will leave the treatment center.
You get your system clean, but you don't get your psyche clean.
Yeah, but once you go out there, once you go out into the real world, like, that's when everything comes at you. Like, you know, you're going to have bad days. Bad things are going to happen. People are going to die. People close to you are going to die. You know, that's just life on life's terms.
Me and my girl counted. It was about a month, maybe even 2 months ago, a girl that I know, you know, since she was a baby,
mm-hmm.
OD, and it was just one of the many, you know.
Right.
But me and her got together, and we counted, I think, in between me and her, 20 people in the past 4 years.
Yeah.
That OD, that we knew of.
Yeah. You know? I couldn't even count at this point. I mean, it's the number so high. I mean, it's a terrible thing, man, and you hate to go to these funerals and stuff, but, you know, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, thank God that there's somebody that, you know, showed me that way and everything, and I miss him greatly, man. COVID got him about a year and a half ago.
There's people that I gotta check on, like, every day. I gotta shoot a text or whatever,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure I get one back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're still out there living in it.
Yeah, you hate to see it, man, but, you know, for me, you know, all I was asked of me, this guy, you know, said, once I take you through this, all I ask you to do is help other people, you know, help other people. That's all I ask, share the message. And, you know, so I do that, and if somebody doesn't want it, then what am I going to do about that, right?
Can't do nothing.
You know what I mean? I go to the next person, try to help them out, and try to find somebody that does want it. And it's not the only way to get sober. I'm not saying that, but it's the way I know.
Right.
Would you say, like, routine outside of the 12 steps, just, like, sticking to a routine has been healthy? And
I don't know. I don't know about routine. You know, one thing I do every day is I get up every morning, you know, and get on my knees, thank God for keeping me sober yesterday, and ask Him to keep me sober today. So there's definitely those routines in there now.
Not to cut you off, I'm gonna let, like, but to me, structure helps. But don't become too reliant on structure, because something is going to change. One day, there's going to be a wrench thrown in there.
Absolutely.
You become too reliant on the structure, and it's not there, then what are you going to do? You know, what's going to catch you?
For four and a half years, yeah, I had the same sponsor, you know, and I looked up to him greatly, man. I never met somebody that, and I've met a lot of people in my life, but his leadership qualities were outstanding. Well, anyway, you know, I thought he'd be my sponsor for the next 20 years anyway, because he was probably in his, you know, when I met him, probably in his early 50s. You know, COVID comes in, takes him out. You know, like, how big is my God at that point, right? How big is God to me? Is God big enough to keep me sober even through something like this? This person I've leaned on for many, many years, or, you know, am I going to go back out and do the one thing he probably would have never wanted me to do?
What's weird is, you lose a mentor like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's literally on you. Like, now you got to use what they taught you
right.
practically. You can't call them and ask them.
Right, right.
Like, what would you do in this situation? All you can do is assess, like, what would they tell me? You know what I mean?
Or I think, you know, whether you're in recovery or not, I think COVID probably threw us all off in a way. It threw all of our routines off. So, like, Yeah,
we went through phases of, you know, like, I think we was shocked. We was, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, confused.
Right.
Yeah, so we went through phases of, you know, like, what the fuck?
Only that, but, like, in a recovery community, when they shut down the meetings, they're like, you're not even allowed to do this anymore.
I didn't think about that.
You're like, what do you do from there?
I did know that one of the reasons that they allowed liquor stores to remain functional is to save bed space in hospitals.
Because no doubt.
I don't even know if they came out and said that officially.
Yeah.
But you know that you take people off alcohol, that use, you know, true alcoholics.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to need a hospital bed somewhere.
Have you ever seen somebody in a... in an alcohol detox?
I went through it, yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
I had too. It's bad. Like, you think somebody going through like an opiate detox or heroin's bad, like, alcohol is actually, like, 10 times worse.
Yeah.
So.
You literally, like, well, I was in, actually, high school the first time I did it, and that kind of kept me away, you know what I'm saying, from alcohol.
Yeah.
I went to opiates. Like, that was actually my... addiction was obvious, but like
that alcohol detox is different, yeah, though, isn't it?
Woke up, was shaking, like, you know,
yeah,
like, I didn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah,
so
don't get me wrong, neither one's a walk in the park. But
no, I used to detox off when I was on parole. You know, I had to piss in a cup once a month, and I was on opiates, so I would have to detox.
Yeah.
Every day. I did it the hard way. Like, I would never take nobody's piss in their room because, for one, my parole officer was gay. So I know that, you know, he ain't shy about watching it. I can't take a whizinator in there because he knows what one looks like real up close.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I would take Sony 7 and I would drink straight water, not do nothing for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Flush my system out.
Yeah.
And I went through that bullshit once a month for, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And
yeah.
It's like, man, why? But I'm doing this to myself, you know, every fucking month. Like.
Right.
But just kept doing it.
Right. Know? Yeah. Yeah. No, none of them are walking, and none of them is going to be a walk in the park for anybody. But, I mean, I think it's part of almost like, you know, I look at it like a rite of passage, you know, where it's like, man, I've been through this shit and I came out the other side, you know. And I had to go through something like that. I had to feel the pain, you know, I don't want to do this ever again, you know. 6.5 years, man, woke up every day without a hangover. I mean, that part's pretty nice about it, so, yeah.
Well, Bowling Green seems to have a pretty decent, like, recovery scene.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, you know, like, they've always kind of had these recovery homes, for better or worse. Uh-huh. Some of them shitholes,
uh-huh,
right? Some of them just squalor.
Right.
That's really not helping anybody. But for the most part, you know, like, they have a lot of AA and AA meetings, like, what, the clubhouse,
mm-hmm,
places like that. You know?
Yeah, so, yeah. So, you know, I think it's whatever you make it out to be. And, man, if you want to stay sober, you know, my understanding is, like, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are like, man, I had to move away from Louisville, or I had to move away from Cincinnati, or so I had to get away from it, or something like that.
Oh, man.
But drugs and alcohol is everywhere.
Yeah.
Just because you left Cincinnati don't mean that they don't have them in Bowling Green.
Circle of influence, so, you know, you gotta pick the people you keep yourself around. So.
Sure, but if you want a drink, you want a drug, you're gonna do it, man. You can drop me off in Alaska, I'm gonna find what I need to find.
To me, it's the day to day. So, yeah, if junkies out there, we know as well as anybody, there ain't nothing gonna keep a junkie from that bag if he wants it. But it's more for the people that are trying to really get right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can keep it at bay, but eventually you're going to run into somebody that you know, or they're going to be hitting you up every day. You know what I'm saying? And the access, it's, I mean, I would almost recommend somebody, you know what I'm saying, change scenery if you need to. Once you conquer it, once you get on your feet,
mm-hmm,
you should be able to walk anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hold that.
Oh, no doubt. You can't run from it.
No.
You just can't run from it, you know, like, I wouldn't want to, I wouldn't want to because, I mean, like, alcohol is a part of our society. I went to a Jelly Roll concert last night, you know.
Really?
There's people, you know, there's people drinking in front of me, people drinking behind me, you know, talking my ear and everything like that. For me, man, I mean, all I got to do is take a drink from somebody and it's over. I don't really know what's going to happen from there.
So you're a blackout drinker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll start drinking the next day and the next day, you know, like
it, once you end your streak.
Yeah, I call that the phenomena of craving. Like once I take a drink, you know, as being somebody that's crossed that line, there's really no
line anymore.
Back to what we were saying though, like I've seen it work for people. Like so, you know, I've got two really good friends. Spent most of their adult life in and out of prison, you know. One of them actually moved off to Lexington, you know.
Yeah.
Took his girlfriend with him, started to raise a family out there. He's free. My other friend is, you know, pretty much doing life again.
Yeah, yeah. I've definitely seen people move to different towns to try to find recovery, and certainly a lot of people have moved to Bowling Green, Kentucky for it, you know, but anybody that I'm helping out with, I'll tell them, I'll be like, we got to find a way in which we take the desire away from it.
Yeah,
you know, once the desire away, you don't need this anymore. You have something else to lean on. You don't have to lean on that drink, right? You don't have to lean on that drug to get by.
Right.
And you can go and do whatever you want, wherever you want. Like I said, I wouldn't want to miss that concert last night. You know, if I was just, hey man, the only way I'm going to be able to stay sober is by not being around it at all, I would miss all kinds of things in my life. Right? You know, all kinds of events, all kinds of social gatherings. I go around my family, you know, like they drink. They ain't got to stop for me. I'm the one with the problem. They're not the ones with the problem.
Right. Now, have you noticed, like, once you stop, is there, like, people around you that stopped as well? Just pure off of seeing your change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take credit for anything because I give all the credit to God. But I do my best to set an example for people. And I have had some, you know, some successful, some not. Have friends that have called me, you know, man, I got this problem and stuff. But all right, you know, like I got somewhere where I can find some people to help show you the way. Now, some people have taken it, some people haven't.
Well, you said while we was kind of in the break that, you know, if anyone needs you.
Absolutely, anytime, 270-893-0105. I don't care who has that number. You can call me at any point in time. I always got time for that. I'll leave my fucking job.
I mean, it's hard one.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's real hard one. It's actually got I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
That,
well, I mean,
I hear the sincerity in it.
Yeah, so. It's what was given to me, man. Is yeah. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. You know, there's some guys.
It's almost an obligation if you work the 12 steps.
I mean, yeah. If I want to stay sober, I got to carry it out. That's what the 12 steps tells me. So, but deep down, it's like, you know, I want to be available because, like, man, you know, that first sponsor I was telling you about, he was a welder.
Yeah.
You know, he had 22, 23 years sober when I first met him. Man, he didn't ask me what I'd done. He didn't judge me. He didn't ask me where I came from, things I'd done or anything. He just said, man, you know, I got a solution if you want it, you know. And he showed me that life. And ever since then, man, you know, like I feel that, you know, responsibility.
I think it's important for some people may think that what they've done so bad, there's no coming back from. I just think it's important that people know, no matter what you've done,
right,
you can change.
No matter how far down you've gone.
Yeah.
You know.
There's people that's been worse. This came back and done better.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, and the hard part is, man, sometimes you see somebody that's like, well, I haven't done some of the things that these other people done, so I'm not as bad as them and stuff. The truth is, man, I've met alcoholics and addicts that have lived in mansions, ran, you know, big businesses and everything like that. I've also met, you know, addicts and alcoholics living under the bridge on Louisville Road, you know.
Sometimes they're one and the same people.
It's the same disease.
Yeah.
It's the same disease that plagues both of them. And for me, the solution is the same for both of them. And I've seen both of them get sober. I've seen both of them not get sober, you know. So if you try to, you know, in my mind, if you try to say, well, if I had this or this or this or this, if I had a good job and a car and money and, you know, a big titty woman, then I could get sober, you know what I mean? But it's like, no, in order to get some of those things, you're probably going to have to get sober first.
So we should actually do another show focusing on, we could do it, you know, recovery, because you've been there and did that.
Right.
And it looks like you actually, you know, practice what you preach and walk what you talk.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's hard to come by, you know.
That's the cool thing about this store, man, is, you know, we get addicts and alcohol, you know, some of them in recovery, some of them not, you know, and it gives me a chance to talk to them and stuff like that. I've never made a dime off of it. That's not what I'm saying, but they know that they can always come
here. Where do you see yourself in your business in 5 years? Do you plan on growing, or are you going to try to kind of keep the same thing going?
Yeah, man, I mean, the goal overall is to always be growing. You know, and sometimes you got to look back on that and kind of assess it. I think, you know, COVID threw us all for a loop. It's like, where do we really go from now? But,
especially,
you know,
smaller business owners, like, you know, the grassroots business owners that we all need,
right?
You know, for this thing to work.
Yeah.
You know, that's who took the hardest hit.
Well, I feel like it's almost trying to choke us out. You know,
mm-hmm.
Or weed us out, I guess I'd say.
But isn't it amazing, like, you know, going through COVID, how much you, like, miss that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, man, I miss going into those small businesses. I miss talking to these people all the time. Like, life sucks without it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? like the world kind of sucks without it, and we got a taste of that. So I think everybody needs to kind of remember with these small businesses, like, man, support them because – you know, they could go out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get a vape, you know, sent through Amazon, I'm sure. I don't know legality.
Yeah, not anymore,
you know.
But besides that,
you know, whatever it is you're shopping for.
Nah, you're not supposed to be able to ship anymore, but some people probably still do.
What's up with that? I didn't even know.
There's a law put in, it snuck through with one of the stimulus bills, because we're shipping shit all over the country. we're shipping stuff up.
And it's got to be, like, that shit's on purpose. Like, you know, there's a reason they did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think it was the one for, like, $600, too. And I was like, man, they're going to take this away for $600, you know. Like, yeah. Because, we had, like, a whole shipping department at it. I mean, you know. Really, just had redone the website and everything like that, and we're, you know. That part was cool, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's cool when somebody in Arizona orders something from
our
old business.
So, whenever the vapes first hit on the scene, I always thought, and I guess it's pretty obvious, that Big Tobacco was lobbying against it. The same way Big Alcohol is lobbying against
it. I just am a Big Pharma, too.
And Big Pharma.
Yeah.
So, has Big Tobacco kind of, like, fell back, or are they still trying to, like,
I think they see the writing on the wall.
Have they found ways to invest in, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that how they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, they bought a portion of Juul a few years ago, and I guess that hasn't worked out too well, but...
So if you can't beat them, join them was their kind of mentality.
Yeah, they see the writing on the wall where it's like, man, you know, people don't want to go back to cigarettes. People like this. The flavors are good. You know, the convenience of it's good. You know, it's just better in 100 different ways. They're like, what are we going to do? Just, you know, try to suppress it. I don't think you can at this point. Everybody's had these now, you know what I mean? It's like Coca-Cola, it's everywhere.
But we have to be fair in saying that, you know, it does hurt the mom and pop tobacco farmer, right?
Oh, well, yeah, in a certain way, but, you know, a lot of the nicotine is extracted from tobacco. I mean,
maybe,
and that's what
should,
I...
Maybe they should move into the legal, like, you know, weed is legal. So mm-hmm. they're growing tobacco. Grow you some weed.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, weed, hemp. Yeah, this is the state for that.
They're doing the hemp. Isn't that legal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of people start growing
there's
hemp.
There's actually a couple of project crops here in Bowling Green.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and that's why I tell everybody, you know, like, you have to be willing and able to adapt. You can't just suppress this and say, hey, everybody, just don't do it, especially once they've got the taste for something. You got to be willing to adapt, and like, your business can become better that way.
Well, I mean, I think it goes for any industry, you know. Things sure. are always changing. You got to be able to adapt, you know.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee said, be like water. Don't be like the bottle. Or, you know, whatever it's in, it molds to it.
Be
in a bottle or a cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Formless. Yeah. So, I mean, if you just look at, you know, farming and stuff, you know, I think I read somewhere that, like, you know, at the turn of the last century, like 70% of people were involved in farming. Right, so 70% of America fed 100% of it, but what happened is, like, all these inventions come around and stuff. Now 3% of Americans are involved in some kind of farming, and 3% is able to feed 100% of the country
with the use right. of steroids and antibiotics and all that.
Just different machineries and, you know, and things
because
like that.
Now, I'm thinking now they're growing chickens like triple the rate that they used to grow chickens.
Right, right.
And I'm saying grow chickens, but yeah. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're talking today, somebody ain't going out there and planting every seed one by one, you know, like they have machines and stuff for that. So just not as many people have to work in the industry. But it doesn't mean that everybody just loses their job and they're like, oh, God, I'm going to be homeless now.
Right.
You know, people go to different areas and things like that. And that's, you know, that's the progression of everything.
So, man, let's just kind of wrap up today's session. We appreciate you sitting down with us, first of all, man. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys.
So absolutely, with the Wise Words podcast, so man, there is one thing that I want to kind of always ask, and do you have like a favorite quote or something that you live by that you, you know, referred back to from time to time?
I never really thought about this, but I guess it had to be "To thy own self be true."
Okay, I love
yeah.
it.
That's Bill.
Yeah. Well, it's actually Shakespeare.
Oh, it is.
But
well, Bill used it then, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he uses it, but I mean, it exemplifies any part of life, and that's, you know, like, what are you doing behind closed doors? What are you doing when nobody's watching? You know what I mean?
That's integrity.
Yeah, like, you can fool me, you can fool yourself, but you can't fool God, right?
I don't think you can fool yourself, can you? I mean,
you might be able to, but, you know. You can always fool me, but you can't fool God. So, yeah, that would be mine. Thy own self be true.
I like it. That's dope.
Yeah.
Books, man. I know you're a book reader kind of like me because we've talked about a few. What's the number one book you recommend or one that you would give away?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Why did you have to ask me that question?
If you got more than one, let's go to.
Yeah, I mean, I've read recently How to Drive Your Competition Crazy, which, you know, really has nothing to do with your competition at all, but more just about how to handle your business and go about things, and it gives a lot of examples out of something like that. But I've read a lot of stuff through the years, and I think it's something you have to continue to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you just rest on your own laurels and stuff, and you're like, this is the way it's done, this is the way I'm always going to do it, then You know, I think you always learn.
You gotta remain teachable.
Yeah.
And that requires a bit of humility, right?
Well, I mean, the great thing is, like, man, people are offering up this information. You can learn from it, right? You can definitely learn from it and apply it to your own life.
You take something that took someone's whole life to learn, you know what I'm saying? You take their story and you can read it, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. and apply it to your own life. You know, you learn from other people's mistakes, and you can fast forward through a lot of things in life if you apply other people's mistakes.
Right.
Your journey.
Right. What about you, man? I know you'd be reading too.
Man, my number one book is, I'd have to say, Celestine Prophecy, man. Have you ever read that?
Nah.
Yeah, it's by James Redfield, and it's like it's a nonfiction book, which most of the books I read now are his is fiction, I meant to say. Most of them are, you know, more biographical or personal development based. But this is more of a story, but it applies different lessons through it that, you know, are real life scenarios. So, but definitely recommend it. I ain't read it in a while, so it's hard for me to actually touch on that. But that's always the one that I recommend the most. I'm reading one right now by Bobby Castro. It's called Upsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, like, I want to order like 10 of these and just pass them out, man. It's really helped me.
That's the cool thing about a good book, man.
Yeah.
You want to share it with everybody.
And most people don't read it and never give them back.
That's the problem with it, yeah.
Definitely.
That's the problem with it. Nah, I think I try to be better when somebody tries to write. Man, one of the great books that I read is called Bluegrass, written by, you know, somebody here, and it's because, like, I was sponsoring two guys at the time. Both of them told me they read it in either jail or prison.
Mm.
So I was like, I gotta check this out. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I like to do this thing where we're just gonna ask you some quick questions. You just don't think too much about it. We're gonna call it the 2-minute drill. We might change the name of it later, but for now, like, I'm just going to ask you questions. You tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. So let's go off the, we'll go ahead and get it started. What's your favorite drink?
My favorite drink?
You're at a restaurant. What are you going
to
order?
Oh, today, Sprite.
Sprite.
Talked to me 7 years ago, would have been vodka and Sprite.
So. But you kept the Sprite. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see. Your favorite genre of music?
My favorite genre of music? I still like the classic rock.
Classic rock.
Yeah.
What's your favorite band?
My favorite band of all time. I mean, of course, there's the Beatles, but the Doors, Bob Dylan, I really got back into them back in the day, so I still listen to them anytime.
You got to watch a movie right now. What are you putting on?
If I had to watch a movie, man, honestly, I watch a lot of Israeli films. So I just got done watching one called Valley of Tears. I really liked it. It's about the Yom Kippur War. So I know it's different.
Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Favorite season?
Favorite season? Definitely spring. Definitely spring.
Mine too. Yeah. Favorite candy bar?
Favorite candy bar? Reese's.
Reese's. I love Reese's. Man. What about all the different new variations of Reese's? Like, what's your...
Man, I...
Are you OG Reese's?
Yeah, like, I'm OG Reese's, man.
Drums or flats?
Drums or flats? Oh, definitely drums.
My God. Yeah.
And no boneless, man. That's bullshit. Boneless,
no.
Yeah. It's kind of like... what is it?
Honestly, though, it depends on where I'm at.
Yeah.
Some are just like nuggets.
Yeah, if you're bone in, it's trash. Just give me your boneless, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
ranch or blue cheese?
Man, only serial killers use blue cheese.
Yeah.
I'm very opinionated on this subject right here, man. Yeah.
Favorite sport?
To watch?
Yeah.
Football. NFL. Play. Favorite player?
Favorite to play. You said to watch.
Oh,
so.
Favorite to play? Probably basketball.
MJ or LeBron?
Ooh.
MJ, come on, man. Yeah. Steph over LeBron, man.
Who is your all-time favorite basketball player?
Kobe.
Kobe.
Yep.
Top three.
Top top three would be MJ, Kobe, and here's this last one, man. Maybe Tim Duncan?
It's a slept on choice.
It's very slept on. Scotty was slept on too, man. Yeah. Scotty was good.
Scotty was better than good.
Scotty was
the second best player in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. I agree on that.
So the two-minute drill, like, this isn't going to work because it's definitely over 2 minutes, but y'all get the point on that. But, you know, while we're sitting here, we got a Tighten Up thing right here on the table. I want to ask, you know, what do you think about the upcoming season for the Titans?
Man, really excited about it now that we got DeAndre Hopkins. I was a little bit worried going into the season, you know, with Trayvon being our best receiver, not really having a lot of great receivers. But now that we got Trayvon, man, I like what our new GM has done, patching this thing up.
How do you feel about the quarterback?
Which one?
I mean, are we still rolling with Tannehill? Is it another Tannehill
season? Man, I like Tanny, but, I mean, he's just one. You got to give him a line, and you got to give him some receivers, and we haven't done that the last couple years. And, you know.
When Tennessee runs the ball,
mm-hmm.
when they run the football well, Ryan Tannehill's numbers, efficiency-wise.
Yeah, outstanding.
Aaron Rodgers-esque.
Yeah.
All right. He picked the first season they started, they wanted to run him out of town mm-hmm. in the playoff games against the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry was not Derrick Henry in that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't nowhere near his season form, but he got a pass. You know what I'm saying?
I just got, you know, thinking, like, man, I'm an old Titans fan. You know, we've been watching them since 99, their first season. Man, we went through some really, really bad seasons that I sat through. And we really haven't since Ryan Tannehill's. I mean, last year was our worst year that we've had, and we still were, you know, right there making the playoffs.
Yeah, the window is closing. Everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this.
But you just feel like you feel like the AFC is a slaughterhouse when it mm-hmm. comes to quarterbacks right now. You know, the NFC.
Young ones, too.
The NFC, you just got to be better than Jalen Hurts right now. You know what I mean? Especially Rodgers. Rodgers is in the AFC now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just Wilson's about to have a bounce back year. It's going to be fun to watch.
Man, I was just thinking about that last year.
But, you know, as far as I'm concerned with the Titans, AFC South is basically up for grabs. And, you know, it looks like Jacksonville is going to be the team sure. for the Titans to beat. But do not sleep on Indianapolis. Because, as far as I'm concerned, the Colts have the best running back in the game, Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, you know,
their line's going to be improved this year.
Yeah,
and they were, a quarterback away from making some legitimate noise last year. You know what I'm saying? So you put a playmaker like Anthony Richardson in there.
Yeah,
you give him Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman. You know, Michael Pittman
he's all right.
We ain't seen what he can do with a good quarterback yet. You
right.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
So. Don't sleep on the Colts, man.
Nah, I mean, I think in the NFL, anybody can beat anybody, and we've seen that over and over again. But it is scary being in the AFC South where you have, you know, Anthony Richardson coming in. You got Trevor Lawrence is already there.
If he takes,
and now Bryce Young.
If he takes a step like he took, you know what I mean? Last year, if he gets that good, that much better, you know, it's trouble. Because the Jacksonville, they have Calvin Ridley now. You know what I'm saying? Like, he took a year off, but we don't know. Did he keep himself in
2 years? Football?
2 years?
He was suspended.
He played four games. He played four games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then he came out with that tweet that was like, man, I got to step away from it. He was having something going on.
Sure.
And then he took the suspension for the games. But
yeah.
If Calvin Ridley, you know, he was on his way, we was talking about he's a top five wide receiver in the league, you know, that year. That was his ceiling.
Once Julio left, yeah, he was a loser.
So if he, if he's kept himself in football shape, you know, who knows? You got Evan Engram. You got Christian Kirk. You got ETN. Mm. Good offensive line.
There's no doubt they're good. You know, I'd have liked to have been able to play him with Tannehill in the last game of the season last year. We had, gosh, I can't even think of the backup's name, but, you know.
We had a slew of them there.
Yeah.
What was that? Tennessee Malik Willis?
No, it wasn't Malik.
The guy they signed for, like, at the end.
Guy came from Tennessee. Everybody, you know, he's kind of a hometown favorite.
Yeah, the bald-headed dude.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad.
No.
But, you know.
Well, I mean, you can't expect someone to step right into a system and be able to play like that either, though.
Right.
Under right. that kind of pressure. But I know you're big into it. Do you play any fantasy football, Sam?
Man, I used to, but it got to too much where it was like, man, this is like kind of dominating my life.
It's, like, yeah, it's dominated my life. Yeah, I'm here for it.
You ever know, just so. Like, you know, you start to sit down and, you know, watch football, and then you're like, man, 2 days have gone by. I'm like, I ain't done shit.
No, I never did it. Hey, Sundays from September – January, Sundays,
Thursdays, and Mondays. See, that's the thing. They've kind of made it now where it's like it's almost every day.
But Sunday, I got the red zone on. I'm cooking. That's kind of like my breakaway day to get away from everything and everybody and check my fantasy scores all day.
But with fantasy, I find myself where I'm like, I'm watching every single guy.
It changes the way you watch the game. But the NFL did that on purpose. Now, they capitalized on that because,
I bet.
Hey, back in the day, well, let's say like when the Texans, like last year, when the Texans are playing, you know, anybody, you know what I'm saying? You're going to watch the game. You might have somebody in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I got the tight end for – you know, the Seattle Seahawks, I got to watch this game today. Yeah. I mean, that's how it got with me, where it was like, man, I'm having to watch way too much football for my own good at this point. So
it does.
If that's possible, but, yeah, man.
So I am, for that being said, I am kind of glad when fantasy's over, because that's around the time that the real playoffs start. And
right.
Now I get to watch a football game without any ties to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can just watch, you know, for the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't need them to convert this third down. I don't need, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're watching some shitty game on Thursday Night Football, and you're like, man, I got to watch every play because this, man, it's kind of maddening to go through it, you know. Or I remember one year I had Tyreek Hill, man, I'd just be watching every game. Like, Cheetah, screaming at the top of my lungs.
I need Kansas City to score.
Yeah.
But I don't need it to be Tyreek Hill. I need it to go to Kelce type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then, you know, I need him to have horrible field position so Mahomes can get an extra 45 yards, you know, because then I hit the bonus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Type shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just kind of want to wrap this up with, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff today. But one thing I do want to, you know, I want to give you a chance to shout out your business.
Hey, I'm Sam Freeman. I'm the owner of Remedy Vapor. You can find us here in Bowling Green, Campbell Lane, right across from Aldi's, or social media. We have Facebook, and also if you want to see a list of all our flavors, go to remedyvapor.com.